exciting times tonight, guys. Call-in show, what? Lots and lots of news, too. Gonna be good times. Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan.
Listen to my voice.
Doesn't it sound great?
It does. And why does it sound so great this week, Ryan? Have you done something different?
I threw my PC out the window and bought a Mac. No, I'm just kidding. I already had one. No, I bought a blue microphone, a Yeti blue microphone. It was about on sale, $100. Grabbed it, and it's much better than the gaming headset I was using to podcast. But I find it sounds very, very good.
Yes, it does. You sound like a Radio Ryan now.
Now we'll go over to Busy Zombie Lord for weather. What's it looking like over there in Hyrule? It's very windy, and I don't think it's going to make it over the...
What the heck was that?
I don't know, but back to you, Jocelyn.
Okay, so we've decided to organize Gamers in Game Nights, or Gig Nights, as we mentioned, I think, last week. So the spreadsheet is now posted pretty much everywhere, I think. So we have 15 names in it as of right now, and so... Our first two official game nights are going to be tomorrow, which is March 15th, and next Tuesday, March 20th. We are going to be on Xbox, and we're going to be playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Woot woot! So feel free to join in, and make sure everybody has added everybody else, and we will see you guys in-game. I'm really excited.
Yes. Mass Effect 3. You have not yet to play the multiplayer, correct?
Right. I have not yet to play.
Yes. That actually sounded fancy. I kind of stumbled into that. I'm looking forward to Gig Night.
Yeah,
dusting off the old Xbox 360 controller and getting some trash talk in, you know?
Great. Yeah. More on that later. So we're going to move right into our quick fire news segment. Starting off with a story that relates back to something that we talked about last week. We have confirmation from Valve they are not working on a console. So contrary to rumors from an unnamed source that surfaced last week, Valve says there is no console or hardware standard currently in development, and so therefore no announcement is forthcoming. Unfortunate.
Sort of similar to Half-Life Episode 3. Next up, we have Mass Effect 3 Rage. People are all mad that both the DLC and the ending are really not what they expected. And, you know, we're probably going to discuss this more in next week's episode when we're going to be talking all things Mass Effect 3. So stay tuned for that.
Angry Birds in Space! A new game is going to be released on March 22nd, 2012, which will turn the Angry Birds into superheroes and feature new physics, including weightlessness and planetary gravitational pull. Because they did physics so well the first time around. A link to the trailer will be in the show notes.
Perfect. DLC announcements. We have Uncharted 3 is going to be getting DLC next week. Multiplayer related. I don't think they've ever had any single player stuff. Final Fantasy 13-2 DLC. Not really sure what they're going to have there. Maybe more costumes. And Battlefield 3 getting 3 new DLC packs over the next couple months, I believe.
So Microsoft is upping the achievement cap. So starting next month, Xbox Live Arcade games will be getting a boost to the possible achievements you can obtain. We're going to see an increase from 200 to 400 gamer score starting in June 2012. This will become mandatory for all new Xbox Live Arcade games.
Now, here we have a free-to-play Game of Thrones MMO. Now, this is interesting. Set during the events of the first book in Martin's series, this browser-based free-to-play MMO happens just after the fall of an important character. Spoilers. You fight alongside one of three major factions for control of the realm. The realm. You join a guild which is the house of a lesser lord that is allied with either the Lannisters, Baratheons, or the Starks. This will be primarily PvP and launch is expected for late 2012.
The Double Fine Kickstarter has ended and they reached over $3 million. So this extremely successful, record-breaking Double Fine Kickstarter project has come to an end. In total, they received $3,336,371 from 87,142 backers. They were 100% funded after only 8 hours of the 30-day period. And their goal was a lofty 400,000. So they pretty much blew it out of the water. Just wow. Looking forward to seeing how this all plays out.
Next up, SWTOR, the current big MMO out there, is getting a huge update with version 1.2. PvP Warzone, PvE Dungeons, guild features, and class rebalancing significant enough to refund all skill tree points. I kind of read that quickly, but...
That's the point of quick news.
Exactly. Game director James Olin says they're paying, talking about subscribers, they're paying $15 a month. So we have the whole team essentially devoted to pumping out new content and new systems on regular occasions. Full stories with details will be linked in the show notes.
And finally, SWTOR is free this weekend. So I guess, yeah, just download, log in. It's free all weekend. I also just got an email from them inviting me to play a 7-day free trial. So those of you who signed up for potential beta access back in, I guess, the fall of 2011, go check your emails and your spam folders, and you might also have a 7-day free trial that has to be claimed sometime in the next 30 days. Enjoy! And that does it for quick news!
Okay, everybody breathe. All right.
That was fun. I love quick news. It's my favorite.
It's going to take a while to get used to, but I think it is. It gives you like a good chunk of the week, and you don't even have to have Google Reader anymore. Just listen to the Gamers In.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, in actual news, or well, news we're going to discuss.
It's all news, Jocelyn.
It's all news.
Don't be a news racist. Come on.
There are two new BioShock trailers that have come out since our last episode, and these are both highlighting two new enemies. They're the heavy hitter trailers, and so one of them is called the Motorized Patriot, and the other is called the Handyman. Did you watch these, Ryan?
I have seen the Motorized Patriot, and I think I've seen enough to know that I want to get this game when it comes out, so I've stepped away from all the videos they're going to be if they're putting this stuff out in March, the game comes out in October, so they're going to be just putting stuff out like probably once a month until October, and I'm done. Like, I don't want to oversaturate myself. I did the same thing with Mass Effect, but I've gathered you watch them though.
Normally, I do a no spoilers thing for all my games, but for BioShock, I've decided I'm going to watch everything that they put out because, I mean, like, I watched all the Mass Effect trailers because they weren't really spoilery, and I knew they wouldn't be because it's so story-heavy, mm-hmm. And I mean, these trailers are total spoilers. Like, it shows you basically, you know, the entire gameplay of playing against these enemies and like, what happens to them as you beat the crap out of them and stuff, but... I've decided I'm gonna watch everything that they put out because I'm really excited for it and I don't really want to wait. So as much as they will throw at me, I'm gonna watch. But honestly, these bad guys scare the piss out of me. Like, seriously, they're hardcore. They're big. They're fast. The Handyman one that came out today that I watched looks like you know, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? Yeah. Kind of reminds me of that guy. Like, he's got these big, huge, long kind of arms, and he, like, runs at you in this kind of like a Krogan charge. Like, really, really fast and stuff. And, like, oh, man. I know that these are their big, like, they're called the heavy hitters. So, I know that they're the big guys. But still, man, oh, man. This game is just going to scare me so bad. Even being based up in the sky is not going to change it. Like, it's all light and pretty in the surrounding environment, but still, it's going to be scary.
Like, I remember watching the original trailer for this game, and I was in. And I did enjoy the first one and played the second one. I didn't fully love it, but you know, it was just more of the same. And then this looks to be in the same universe, but with a twist on the whole dynamic. Like, you are in the sky. It's very patriotic, like, you know, this is our strong country, we're going to win kind of thing. And I haven't really been paying attention to the media, but I did watch The Motorized Patriot, and you mentioned his, like, spoilery stuff about, like, you know, how you're going to beat him, how you're going to, how you need to defend again. I remember that from The Motorized Patriot trailer, where they're kind of describing how you need to fight this guy and how this guy is going to fight you.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little, it was almost like these videos should probably come out, like, you know, around launch to kind of, you know, give you strategies on fighting these dudes. It seems a little early, but I've already can tell from this game that it's not just about the one big enemy, you know, whereas the first one, it was the big daddies. In this one, it's the handyman, it's the motorized patriot, it's a whole bunch of stuff, right?
It seems to be a whole bunch, because I know, well, and it was kind of that way in the second one, too. You had the big daddies that you had to beat to get their little sisters. Then you had the big sisters, which were terrifying and so hard to beat. And then you also had those, like, big, huge, bulky splicer guys. I can't remember exactly what they were called, but they were really hard to beat as well, so...
That's true. I forgot about that, and too, that they kind of kicked it up a notch. I really liked the little, the big sister concept, and I think that was a step in the right direction in terms of adding new, cooler enemies. But I just, I'm for some reason, I'm just really digging the aesthetic of this game, like just the setting and the propaganda posters and all that they're using to promote it. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I love the whole... I think it's an alternate 1950s, right? Is it still, or...?
Yeah, like, kind of World War II-ish stuff, I believe.
I think so, yeah. So, yeah, I'm super excited for this. So, on to our next story. 1 in 3 online gamers are turned off by abuse, and this is specifically in first-person shooter online multiplayer, which Ryan and I have discussed before, my experiences in Black Ops, so... this is a story from IGN, and they say that they had over 43,000 votes cast in a survey that they recently did, and the most popular question was, what's the primary reason you're not interested in playing shooters online? So almost 44% of people feel that online multiplayer shooters are repetitive and mindless, and they prefer rich, engaging single-player experiences. 22% claim they played video games for fun, not for sport, and they don't feel compelled to compete. But the really interesting one to me is that almost 34% of voters say the behavior of gamers who play shooters competitively online completely turns them off, which has definitely been my experience in any time I've ever gone to play Call of Duty. I can't believe, like, I mean, I actually returned my copy of Black Ops. I didn't even finish playing through the multiplayer because the online experience turned me off so much. And I don't understand the mentality of yelling at someone and telling them that they suck when they're obviously a low level or not very good. And I play games, like, I don't expect to walk into a game and be awesome at it. So I play to get better, to improve. And I find the atmosphere in online multiplayer first person shooters is so negative that no one helps you. No one wants to help you learn and get better and anything else. And it's very difficult to get better in the single player because the gameplay is just so different. I find the entire environment in multiplayer online first-person shooters is just awful. I don't think that I would ever buy another first-person shooter where, unless it had a completely rich, awesome single player, but most of them now are moving away from single player and focusing just on the multiplayer, so I think I'm going to move away from that entire genre of games, which is kind of unfortunate because I do enjoy, you know, like, I mean, Mass Effect is a shooter.
Well, you mentioned you probably won't pick up another FPS again. Like, Halo 4 is going to be coming out, and... that game will have an online, and the Halo game series is well noted for having those people as well. Like, I remember playing online, and if you do really good, you'll never hear a peep from other people, you know, because you're just playing, you're there to play and you're good. But because you're wired, when someone does something bad, you ought to, like, these people automatically assume, like, I should tell him he sucks because that's the only way we're gonna start winning. It's like when you're driving, you know, in a car and someone ahead of you is going slow or not using their signals or is like braking suddenly and you just start yelling. You're like, what the fuck, dude? Use your signal. I'm not a mind reader. Like, learn to drive, you know? It's the same thing, you know? I don't do it when I play multiplayer because, like, I'm just there to have fun. But every time I play, like, I was playing today Mass Effect and I wasn't on top of my game. I mean, I was running and also I'm a soldier class and these other people are playing like snipers or whatever. They're super powerful. And, you know, I died and then they res me and then I died right away. And they're like, I don't know what Murpan's doing, but he's an idiot and he doesn't know how to play. And I'm just like, ugh, that totally turns me off. And I'm like, well, I kind of want us to lose now just to prove to you that I guess I suck. So we might as well lose. Right. We ended up winning and, you know, so I don't understand why people do that. It's just, it's so counterproductive.
And it happens all the time. Like, every single time I log in, within, like, I either sit there waiting forever for a match because no one will play with me because I think I was, like, a level 8 or something, and everybody else is level 50 because they've been playing for God knows how long. And then once somebody finally decides they want to play with me, within 30 seconds, why are you going that way? Why aren't you doing this? And then it goes from, like, because you can't tell. I'm GIS Gamer everywhere. Actually, sorry, GIS Gamer X on Xbox. And so you can't tell immediately from my name if I'm a guy or a girl. So people start yelling at me. They start calling me gay. They start, you know, like, oh, you know, making, like, racist slurs, which doesn't even, like, apply to me. It's like, you don't know anything about me, and you're swearing at me, and you're slurring at me, and, you know, like, you're calling me a homo and all this other stuff, and I'm just like, what is the point of this? Like, you don't know me at all, and you're supposed to be on my team. Like, because that's the other thing. Like, some people point out that, you know, like, trash talking is a part of sport and part of being competitive, and that's fine. But if some of the things that are said on like, online gaming were ever said on, like, a basketball court or a hockey rink, like, that player would be out of there with, like, thousands and thousands of dollars of fines. And if it kept up the way it keeps up in gaming, they, like, here's your pink slip. Get the hell out. Like, yeah. We don't want you in our sport. And yet, for some reason, it's acceptable in our culture, like our gamer culture. I don't know about this.
Yeah, like, when you, that's a perfectly valid point. Like, if someone were to say the things that the 13-year-olds say to me when I'm playing Xbox Live, you know, they'd be gone. And technically, it is against Xbox Live policy to be racist and, you know, people have been banned for having that stuff in their profiles and stuff because it's something that, you know, Microsoft can say, we can prove that you're being racist, so we're banning your account. I mean, you can report people for being racist and abusive, like, and Microsoft takes that very seriously and will look into that stuff. Most people just don't report people because they figure, like, well, I'll mute them and be done with it. That's your it's the best defense you have is just to mute them and move on. But there is a healthy version of trash talking. Like, when we do these gig nights, I'm sure there will be a healthy dose of trash talking. I know Jocelyn, she likes to trash talk.
I do.
Yeah, which is totally fine. I mean, she doesn't go over the line. She doesn't bring anybody's mother into it. Usually. But,
well, like, yeah, there's some exceptions.
Yeah.
Piss me off.
That's my job, right? But, like, trash talking, you know, it's camaraderie, right? But as soon as you everybody knows where that line is, and most people don't cross it, and it's just these few people in a large community that kind of ruin it for everybody, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think obviously exactly right what you just said, that it's just, it's the few that wreck it for everyone. So if any of you are listening, just don't be mean. Just don't be mean. Like, trash talk, go ahead, but just, you know, keep it civil.
Yeah.
So that brings us to our final news story of the evening, and this is a story from Blizzard, and they are offering auto-leveled to 80 characters and a free upgrade to Cataclysm for with their Scroll of Resurrection. So if you have been inactive, before May 4th, 2012, and you have subscribed to the game for at least 30 days in the past, then you're eligible for someone who is currently active in WoW to send you a Scroll of Resurrection. So, as I said, it gives you one character auto-level to 80, free upgrade to Cataclysm, 7 days free to play, and also a free transfer of your characters between realm and faction. So if you have your character from 6 months ago that you haven't been playing, and all your friends are in a new realm, you can transfer your character for free. If you are the person who sends the scroll to your friend, then if they then sign up for a month of play, then you get a mount, a Spectral Griffin or a Spectral Wind Rider. And I don't really know what the difference is. Ryan, do you? Probably just the Horde versus Alliance thing, or?
Yeah, the Griffin is the lion eagle thingy, and then the Wind Rider is like this wyvern? I don't know. It's for the Horde, and that's right. The difference there.
So, the reason behind this is Blizzard is down almost 2 million subscribers since Cataclysm launched a year and a half ago. So, I don't know if that has anything to do with a certain Star Wars MMO that just came out. But they're down 2 million people, which, I mean, they're still over 10 million monthly active subscribers. Oh, I'm having so much trouble with this. I got all worked up over the multiplayer discussion. Sorry, guys. But, so anyways, if you've been inactive since December 2009 or earlier, you have to create a Battle.net account and merge it with your WoW account before you can accept a Scroll of Resurrection. So, Ryan, you want to do this?
You know, I might be inclined to give it a shot. I actually, one of my old roommates sent me a message saying, like, oh, I feel so dirty, I started playing WoW again. And I'm like, that's weird, because I just canceled my SWTOR subscription. Because every month I'd get it on my credit card and I'm like, yeah, I should really play that game. And I don't know, one character auto-leveled to 80, that'd be pretty sweet. I don't, like, the people who are playing.
If you've already played through, then it's not such a big deal, right? Because I when I first saw this, I was like, why the hell would you want to do that? Because, like, I'm playing through right now and we've reached level 12. And it's exciting, and it's fun, and, you know, like, I'm really enjoying the environment and everything else, and, you know, like, we'll be running up the road, and then, like, we come over a hill, and then Joel's like, oh, cool, look at that tree thing, and I'm like, oh, awesome, and so we're experiencing this new world, because he never played a Blood Elf before, so, like, everything's new to him, too, and it's fun, and I'm like, I wouldn't want to miss that just to go straight to all the endgame Cataclysm content, like, I don't know, why would you want to do that? But I guess if you've already played through up to level 80, then might be the kind of thing you want to do.
You're right. I never really thought about that, but it does seem kind of weird when you think about it. Because 80 isn't even max level.
No, it's basically, it takes you all the way up through what you would have done if you did WoW and Burning Crusade and Lich King. Because Lich King 80 was the top level, right? And then Cataclysm took it up to 85. So basically, they're letting you start at the beginning of Cataclysm and go.
Well, yeah, but the cool thing about Cataclysm is that it's like all the content in the old world had been like changed, right? So that's weird that they would try to bring people back by allowing them to skip 3/4 of the content they added in the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's still neat to think about, like, oh boy, I get to skip like 3 days playtime, right? Just pick a guy you want to level to 80, and then there you go. You have a free 80
Is that
character.
How long it takes to level to 80? Because, like, Joel and I are at level 12, and I think we've played, like, 12 hours, probably.
Oh, I don't know. I was a guess. I'm okay. Sure people in the chat room could correct me. I haven't played seriously in, like, two or so years.
Okay.
But it's up there. Yeah.
So how long has your account been inactive?
Last it was active would have been March last year, because I would have had Cataclysm. I went and picked up Cataclysm midnight launch at Walmart, and then, like, you couldn't play until 3 in the morning because they did a worldwide server launch.
Right.
And I got a Worgen to level, I don't know, 20, and then stopped playing. I suck at MMOs.
I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun, and I only have one character, and I'm only playing with Joel, so it means that it's kind of good, because it means that I can't play every night, because I know if I wasn't playing with him, I would be playing every night. I'm obsessed.
Really?
So every single, yeah, every time, he's like, oh, so what do you want to do tonight? I'm like, WoW. Can we play WoW? I want to play WoW.
Huh. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I really, really like it, so.
There is nothing better than enjoying an MMO. You know, like some of my greatest memories while playing an MMO are up there in terms of the best times I've had while playing games.
Even though you suck at them?
Well, no, I suck at committing time to them. I don't suck at keeping my credit card on file and allowing them to charge me, but I do suck at, like, you know, I should, like, I have, like, probably, like, 10 hours worth of tour show to listen to, and I was saving that to listen to it while I played Star Wars, and I just haven't had time. So,
yeah, I think I might start up with this seven-day free trial. I might start up Star Wars in the next 30 days. We shall see. So now we're going to move into the What We're Playing segment. So this is a segment where you guys who are live in the chat room, if you guys want to call in, again, it is GIS Gamer on Skype. So give us a shout if you want to chat. So what we have been playing... Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect 3, and more Mass Effect 3.
Yes, that is very true. Did you want to start?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I've been talking a lot, I feel like, so go for it.
Ah, yes, I have taken the reins. Mass Effect 3, yeah, of course it's been out for a little over a week now, I guess. I haven't beat it yet.
Yeah, it was Tuesday launch, so yeah, a week and a day.
Oh, wow. That's weird that it's already been a week, but I'm 15 hours in, I believe, and just a forewarning, we're not going to do any spoilers, we're just talking general while we wait for someone to call in, and Jocelyn will probably say, hey, we have a caller, and then Ryan will make a stupid joke about turning the radio down. I promised I wouldn't, so I won't. That's the last you'll hear. Anyways,
I was going to say, but you've just made the joke.
Yeah, so. I know. I have a knack for doing that, don't I?
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3, the campaign, I'm about 15 hours in and enjoying it. The side quests are kind of weird. Like, Shepard's really annoying. And I kind of get why he was court-martialed, because, like, every time he goes by somebody, he'll eavesdrop and then come back, like, hours later. It's like, I found this really rare artifact you wanted. Can I have some credits, bro? And then, you know, they'll give him some credits. So that's weird, but... I'm really kind of digging the minigame for getting those artifacts. Like, before, you had to mine minerals, but now it's the same minigame, but you get, like, one thing or a couple things per system, and then, like, one thing per planet. So you're not doing a lot of scanning.
Okay. Mm. See, I haven't done much scanning at all, actually. I think having the Reapers everywhere, it's like you get this warning saying, you know, do not scan, Reapers will chase you, and I'm like, okay. So I don't think I've actually done it, except you had to do it for something. You were looking for, like, the wreck of something. I can't remember exactly what it was now, but yeah, that was the only time I scanned, and it's because the mission made me.
Well, you bring up a valid point, and something they said on the Giant Bombcast, they were saying that, like, the sub game of, like, scanning for minerals and, like, attracting the Reapers feels like it was tacked on at the last minute to kind of, like, it's like, really, like, we should probably have some sort of dread, you know, chasing you, right? And it is very annoying.
Oh, we have a caller. Valerie is calling in. Let's see if I can do this. Valerie, are you there?
Hi.
Hey.
Valerie, there? Hello, I'm there.
Hey.
And this is when Ryan says, nope, turn down your radio.
I can't. I'm not allowed. So we're just going to have to...
Nope. I can't. Allowed. So we're just going to have to...
Nope. This is working so well.
Valerie, you need to pause your stream.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Oh, there we go. Okay, there she is. Hi, Val.
Hello.
So, what are your thoughts on Mass Effect 3 so far? With no spoilers, please, if you
no
can help
spoilers
it.
No spoilers at all. Okay, well, I was listening to what you guys were saying about the scanning, and I have the exact same problem. Every single time I want to scan something, in 5 seconds, the Reapers find me. And, like, I never have the time to scan more than once or twice before they come at me and they chase me everywhere. So I was wondering, I'm not the only one with that issue. I mean, I don't know if it's because my ship is too easy to detect or whatever, but it always comes after me.
That's true. Like, after, like, 2 or 3 scans, the bar, like, readily just, like, shoots up, and then it says, oh, the Reapers are coming for you. Now, the tactic I've employed is I kind of don't care. I just do a bunch of scanning to find the places, and then as soon as the Reapers come after you, you just, like, exit the circle that is the system, and then, like, it resets. It just says, successfully evaded, and then I'll pop back in, shoot over to where, like, I found the artifact, and click on it, and when you click on stuff, it sort of pauses the action, so the Reapers aren't... So, literally, like, you could have 5 Reapers coming at you, and you could just sit there scanning a planet, you know, and take as much time as you want, and they won't attack you. But you just got to make sure to get out of there, like, right away.
Yeah, because then it's game over. I've experienced that.
Yeah. The weird thing about game over, though, is it just kind of kicks you back to the same exact place. Cause it,
exactly.
It's sort of like non-consequence, right? It's just there to annoy you. So, I don't know.
Well, fantastic. Thanks for calling in, Val.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
So, yeah, I like I said, I haven't done a lot of scanning. So, but that's how you find the artifacts? Because I have a quest right now that says I have to find artifacts for somebody. And that's the scanning thing?
Yeah, you'll run into it from time to time. And basically every side quest has to do with either finding something on a mission or scanning a planet. And it really does feel like kind of attacked on, kind of we need to make sure these people are hurried or bothered in some sort of way. Like, the Reapers are attacking everything, right? So it's not all hunky-dory. You just go around scanning planets and finding gold underneath this here rock. I don't know.
So artifacts. Have you gotten the achievement then for evading the Reapers? Or?
Oh, yeah, you get it right away, right? Because as soon as the Reapers come at you, you just leave the system. And that's a joke, right? Because as soon as the
Reapers... That seems too easy. We have another caller. We have Swick calling. I'm getting so good at this.
You are.
Hi, Swick.
Hello.
Hey.
There's How are like you people this here. Fine evening?
I am wonderful. How are you guys?
Pretty fantastic.
I was told to call in, and yeah, so I'm calling.
Yay.
Oh, that's great. How are you liking Mass Effect 3? Or do you have another game that you're playing that you want to talk about?
Oh, shoot. You put me on the spot here. let's see. No, Mass Effect 3 is pretty much the expected level of awesome. it's kind of creeping me out because people are just going off on how bad the ending is. And I haven't gotten that far yet, so I'm a little worried about what's coming.
I know, me too. Yeah. I feel like I've been playing the game completely wrong because... Like we were talking last night, every single person I talked to has had much better results than me. Like, I've had some serious deaths in my game. And, like, I think I'm doing everything right, and I'm doing my best to make as many Paragon decisions as I can. But, man, oh, man. Death everywhere.
Yeah, it's war.
I know, but, I mean, I've even had suicides.
Oh, yeah.
What, really?
I haven't, but I remember Jocelyn had mentioned that. Yeah.
What did you do? Did you, like, make somebody...
Well, I can't say, because I don't want to ruin, that's a huge spoiler. I'll definitely talk about it next week, but I just can't believe, I'm really worried about the ending of the game, because I know everyone's been so upset, and it's been all over Twitter and all the news sources and everything else, how upset people are, and there's a petition going around right now about, how they want DLC to change the ending, and I'm just like, whoa. That's intense. What's going on with this game?
That's gnarly. But yeah, most of it's dedicated to Mass Effect 3. And I'm also playing a bit of Dungeon Defenders too.
Oh, how's that one?
That's fun. I think I told, when was it? It might have been with you guys. It's kind of the hybrid between the action RPG and the tower defense type deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's. I have a lot of fun with that game. It's a great premise.
When did that one come out?
Oh, jeez. It's been a while.
It's been a while now. I think I know the one you're talking about.
They've consistently put out DLC and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's a great premise. Basically, you play these kids who are the kids of like these amazing heroes, and they have I told you guys. I feel like I've told you guys about this. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
But anyway, but keep going.
Yeah. So the parents, they pretty much defeat all of evil, and then they go on vacation, and the kids stick around and accidentally unleash the evil their parents had just imprisoned. So the whole goal of the thing is so you as the kids, the whole thing is that you were supposed to, you know, defeat evil once again and clean up the house before your parents get home.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I have a lot of fun with that game. And of course, I'm a big fan of the multiplayer co-op.
Oh, there's multiplayer co-op too, eh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
More online stuff. I don't know.
Pretty sure they're not mean.
Okay. Are you like completely anti-multiplayer? Is that the vibe I'm picking up here?
Except for blowing things up with you and Renegade Ops, yes.
Does that include like the stuff you blow up as you like run into it with your car?
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Thank you for calling, Swick. That's been awesome. We really appreciate your contribution to the show.
All right. Thanks.
See ya.
Yep. See, you make fun of me, I'm gonna kick you.
Yeah. We have a special clause in my contract that allows me to make fun of her every 5 minutes or so without getting kicked off the show. Plus, she knows if she kicks me off, then the recording probably jacks up and we have to start all over. So
yep, you're only here because I need a live stream.
Yeah. Which is, everybody, don't tell her how to do it.
Oh, we have another caller.
Oh,
it's working awesome here.
I'm never going to get to talk. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Hello.
And welcome to the Gamers Inn.
Pleasure to meet you guys. I'm Leo Noved in the IRC.
Oh, cool.
Oh, hey.
Yes, this is my voice. Let's see. What
now
games
you're typing totally makes sense. Sorry.
Okay, let's see. What games have I been playing this week? Mostly Mass Effect 3, of course. Duh.
Isn't everyone?
Yeah.
Yes. I've been playing a little bit of WoW here and there. Rose raiding tonight. But, I kind of went through the whole Mass Effect 3 ending kind of depression kind of phase, but at the very I have to admit, it makes sense now.
Careful with the spoilers. Yeah. I will boot you for spoilers.
I will not.
He's trying very hard. That's good.
So you found it a little bit, Lou in the chat room says, underwhelming. Is that kind of what it feels like? I mean, this is the kind of epitome of the entire franchise and the ending to the series and our last journey with Shepard, and you found it a little bit meh?
Yeah. But I've been kind of hearing a few things around because I'm in a few clubs for Mass Effect, and God, there's a lot of hate. Oh my God. Yeah.
Weird. See, I think us gamers, we're just so passionate that you don't want to cross us.
But, I don't know, I have seen a few things that make it a little bit more sensible.
Hmm.
But other than that, I've been in the Mass Effect Club and been doing a few little bits of artwork. For those of you who like Tally, I did link a picture of her in the IRC.
Cool.
Safe for work?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm always afraid to click on those DeviantArt things, and they're like, oh, I drew my favorite Mass Effect character. I'm like, uh-oh.
Naked with three others. What?
That's not me. I'm actually working on another one here. It's another one of Tally. She's one of my favorite characters in the game. So, yay!
Tally is pretty awesome.
That she is.
Oh, that looks cool. I'm breaking the fourth wall here. I went back to the chat room, sorry.
Oh, no! Black hole, Ryan! Black hole, come back!
It's not a black hole. I'm complimenting his art skills. It looks really cool.
Thank you very much.
So anything else other than WoW and Mass Effect?
I've been playing a little bit of Borderlands.
Oh, cool. I never got into that, but it's Borderlands 2 comes out later this year, right? So is that something I should play 1 before 2?
I don't know. It's kind of weird. What would be... The story is kind of a little odd.
Oh, Val says Borderlands sucks unless you play it with someone. So, man, is this another multiplayer thing?
It can be. It can be single player, it can be multiplayer. Either or. But the thing is, with the Borderlands, besides the god billion guns, every single time you add a person onto it, it gets even harder.
Okay, so it scales. Well, that's kind of good.
I bought Borderlands 1 actually twice now, and I kind of stopped playing it, and I think the game is really made interesting. It's kind of like MMOs. It's made interesting when you're playing with other people. If you're playing by yourself, it kind of, you lose interest quicker, right? Borderlands, I think that would be neat to kind of get back into. I bought the Steam collection like during the summer when it went on sale for like $5, so... We should rock that in a gig night, you know.
There was actually a sale a few days ago for it, actually. Oh. For like $7 or something like that.
Oh wow.
Okay.
All the DLC and everything.
Sweet. Oh really?
Yeah, that's how I got it last Christmas actually.
Oh.
So
and the second one comes out in September, right? Like, and it's,
I believe so. It was in our release dates that were announced last week, and it was, I believe, September. Yeah, I want to say the 12th.
Cool.
But I could be wrong.
I was just going to say, I haven't really paid a lot of attention to the media surrounding the second release in the series, but it seems like it's just more the same with a couple extra classes, right? Are they kind of adding more to the story?
It's just a continuation of the game, basically. Oh, okay. The four main characters are actually in this Borderlands 2, but you cannot play them.
Oh, really? But can you so you can't play the characters, but can you play like similar classes, or are they kind of just ripping out those classes? Oh, so you can.
What is his name? Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of like Brick, the Berserker.
Okay.
There's Axton, who's kind of like your main soldier class. There's Zero, who no one actually knows his real name yet. He's kind of like your ninja. And then there's your crud. I cannot remember her name. I'll just call her the Siren.
Oh,
she's kind of
your
kind of telekinetic kind of person.
The real question is, can you play as a Claptrap? That's what everyone's asking.
I don't think so.
Ah, well, there goes your game of the year. You would have instant game of the year if you get to play as a Claptrap.
Personally, my favorite thing to do in that game is shooting midgets with some kind of elemental gun. They scream so loud.
It's scary for my... that I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I forgot how fun that was. It seems bad when you say it.
That
shooting little people.
So bad. Like, I'm listening to you guys talk right now, and I'm like, what? Why is everyone all excited about this game? What's wrong with you people?
It's like Diablo with guns, really, when it comes right down to it. I think that's the best
way
to describe it.
I never played Diablo. I'm only 20 years old, and I was kind of one of those sheltered kids who never got to play a whole lot of video games. Busting out.
I've never played Diablo as well, but I kind of know of it, just based on like Diablo 3 coming out soon. But it's like a loot based game, and it's all about getting that new gun that does a little bit of extra damage, so you can kill people faster. And
funny enough, my brother used to make fun of me all the time for picking up all these weird elemental weapons. Now he tried to go into the second playthrough. He cannot kill a thing, and I just go through it like. Everything. I kill everything on site.
Well, it would be similar to playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer in the sense that we'd have to like split off into four-player teams, but I think we should try to organize something. I think there's at least four people that have Borderlands and are interested in playing it. So,
oh dear Lord, yeah. If you guys ever come onto the BTW event, because you guys are a part of them now, correct?
Yeah, we need to do that. And I think we...
Go on the event sometime. There's a lot of us on there. A lot of us have Borderlands. A ton of games. Holy crap.
Cool. Excuse me.
And let's see. For the Mass Effect multiplayer, me and a few friends have been playing that. Finally got the Black Widow. And I've been trying to give people a few pointers about the game because not a lot of people seem to know like what weapon does what and... So on.
Yeah, I'm finding that as well, as I'm kind of just like fumbling my way through the multiplayer. I just picked the base soldier class and kind of like, okay, this is where I'll start. And I've seen a lot of people kicking ass with the sniper or the sniper equivalent class.
Well, did you know that Adrenaline Rush actually resets your clip?
Oh. No, I didn't know that. See, I'm not paying attention.
I had the Mantis on my soldier, and we all know the Mantis is actually a pretty good sniper rifle for a starter.
Right.
But the thing is, when you try this out on your next multiplayer game, shoot with the Mantis, then instantly hit Adrenaline Rush, and it'll instantly put your another clip in there.
Oh.
You can get two shots. You can put out twice as much.
Huh. Well, there awesome. You go. Tip of the week. That's awesome. I'm going to have to try that.
For everyone on the channel, try it.
We shall. All right, well, thanks a lot for calling in. And yeah.
It was a pleasure.
All right, thanks. Talk to you later. Cool. So, what else have you been playing this week, Ryan? Anything iOS related, perhaps?
Why, yes. It's also Mass Effect 3 related. Hero Academy added a new team. No, I'm just kidding.
that would be awesome. Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah. Datapad actually came out, and I'm playing it on the iPhone. And it's really neat because Mass Effect ships with this wonderful codex. If you ever want to learn more about like anything in the universe, you can go to this codex. It's fully, like, the primary stuff is fully voiced. So you don't even have to read it, you know? So mm-hmm. The cool thing about the Datapad is, like, it's a 70 meg download, which surprised me. It's like, shit, that's a lot of gallery art. But really, it's these primary codexes that are all voiceover. And I just sat there and went through it and listened to them all. And it was really well done. And there's a mini game in there to increase your Galaxy at War percentage, which does lead to an achievement for you achievement hunters. If you get 100%.
Oh, does it? Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. So that's your incentive to play the multiplayer to get that Galaxy at War rating up to not only increase your chances of getting the best ending in the game, but also to get that achievement of having 100% in every region. But basically how the Datapad minigame works is you have these little ships and you pick a mission for them, and each mission returns credits and increases your readiness. Now you can use those credits towards upgrades your shields, which stop your guys from getting crippled after completing a mission. Crippled means your ship's down for an hour after you complete the mission. You still get the rewards. You know, increasing your fleet size, you can do that up to 3 times, so you constantly have a ship in each system. And also you can increase your readiness bonus and also the time. So you can decrease the time, rather, how long each mission takes. And it's sort of like that free-to-play model where it's like, okay, set it all up. This is going to take 6 hours to finish. Come back in 6 hours and set it all up again. So it's
cool.
It's small. It's not the greatest, but it's still – I'm sitting there on my iPhone, and I'm impacting my Xbox game. The future is here. I think it's such a cool connection, and it's really sweet.
And this is the free one, right? The Datapad's the free one, and the Infiltrator is the $7 one?
Yes, Infiltrator, yeah, the $7 one's kind of like a third-person shooter, and I believe it will impact your Galaxy at War and maybe even give
it does.
You, yeah, and but it's not really reviewing that great, so I wouldn't spend $7 on it.
I was shocked. I was expecting, you know, maybe $3.99, and when I went to see it and it was $6.99, I was like, well, forget this. I am not buying this, so I didn't. I don't know. We'll talk about it again next week, but the whole galactic readiness percentage, not a fan of at all. Grr.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of Mass Effect 3 rage, people. Just for the record, next week will be interesting.
Yeah, I need to beat that game because, like,
I'm gonna have it done by next week. Yeah,
like a lot of our callers have been saying, like, just the disappointing ending, and I'm more curious now than ever just to see why these people are complaining. And that's, you know, not only to finish this game and this series, also to find out why these people are tearing BioWare a new one for, you know, making something that they believed in for the last 10 years. So it's totally ridiculous for people to do that. But what else have you been playing, Jocelyn?
I just got into this new game, I guess, yesterday. Steph from Ladies Elite recommended it to me, and it is called Draw Something. I am awful at it in the most hilarious way possible. It's like they give you 12 or 14, I can't remember now, letters at the bottom of the page, and you have to guess what the word is based on your partner's drawing. And so you pick the word, and there's an easy, a medium, and a hard word, and then you have to draw a picture of whatever that word is. And I've always said I can't draw stick figures, and this game just proves it. I can't even draw stick figures. And it's kind of hard, and you can totally tell the people that are playing it on an iPad versus an iPhone. Because, like, I can't do little details even. It's, like, so awful. And they're, like I had, Steph drew a poodle, and she had, like, all these little curls and stuff, and I was just like, I hate you and your iPad. I can't even make my stick figure's body meet his legs. So, yeah, having problems with it. But it's a lot of fun, and it shows you, when you're trying to guess the word, it doesn't just show you the drawing, like a still picture of the drawing. It's actually a video of the person as they're drawing, which is really cool and funny to watch most of the time. And you can see, like, the frustration when I was first learning, because there's different pen sizes and different colors. But it's not, like, there's no real instructions telling you how to do it. So I was, like, drawing with this super big, like, thick line, and it looked so awful, and it was like I kept erasing and then starting over and erasing and starting over, and it took me like 5 minutes to do this drawing. And then Steph wrote me, she's like, what the F was that? I was like, oh, I didn't realize you got to see a video of that entire thing.
Oh.
So she's laughing at me pretty good.
So is this going to be similar to Hero Academy when you're like, I'm playing this new game, it's kind of all right, and then I download it, and it's like, oh my god, addictive.
Yes, it's very addictive. And I think I have 10 games going on right now, but it's kind of nice because it's cooperative. So the whole point is, like, I'm trying to make it easy for you to guess, and you're trying to make it easy for me to guess. And then if you get it right, we both get coins, and you go on a streak. And I'm not really sure what the point of a streak is yet, because I haven't hit the end of a streak with anyone, so I don't really know what the consequences are for not guessing. But, yeah, oh, man, Joel's smack-talking me. Okay, Joel is an illustrator, so, I mean, it's kind of like cheating. And he's saying, I need all the practice I can get. You know what? We're going to have words, mister.
That's it. I am going to get my gauntlet that I'm throwing it across the room right now. Let's go.
This wasn't a competitive game until right now.
Boom. Choose your side. The Reapers are coming. What? This is a different game. How does it impact your Galaxy at War rating?
My galactic readiness.
Yeah. Does it give you, like, any sort of bonus?
Every time I draw an alien and a UFO, it gives me more galactic readiness.
Oh, good. I was worried there because, really, I'm not playing anything that doesn't impact my galactic readiness rating. I can't.
Not even Hero Academy?
Well, I mean, there's always exceptions to the rule.
Nice. Well, I think that that pretty much wraps it up for this week. What do you think, Ryan? We're good?
I think so, unless there's another caller that wants to call in. We're not cutting anybody off.
Yeah,
last chance, people. Anybody? Please.
We did well, man. We had, what, 3 callers?
No, I know we did well, but after this, after call-ins, it's like, then the show's almost over.
Aw. can hear your sad face from here.
Yep. That's just the power of the microphone. It's that it's good.
Pretty sweet microphone. All right, so let's move into listener feedback. Ryan, do you want to take it away with our iTunes review?
Yeah, so it seems we weren't checking our iTunes reviews correctly. So we apologize for all the extra begging we've been doing. But we have one here from Kiyu Kushinben, which kind of sounds like a Street Fighter name. Kiyu Kushinben! Or it's like a move of some kind.
I thought the same thing when I read it.
And I picture a spinning kick of some variety. It was posted on March 3rd, and he says, "Super cool, 5 stars. Great show. I think you two are hilarious. Thank you. Loving the Mass Effect discussions. Keep it up. Oh, yeah, and good luck playing 2 MMOs at the same time." Well, that's funny, Kyu Shenben, because neither of us are playing 2 MMOs at the time. At the same time, because Jocelyn is a liar. Wait a minute.
You know what? I'm going to start playing SWTOR just to rub it in your face.
Yeah, because it's a free weekend.
Because I got the free week in my email today.
I was just about to buy... After I said that, I realized, wait, if she starts the free weekend, then she'll technically be playing 2 at the same time.
Yep. But I'm not going to play on the free weekend because I'm pretty sure that the servers are just going to get slammed and it's going to be slow and crappy and there's going to be a whole bunch of people who don't know what they're doing like me and they're just going to get in my way and then it's going to be exactly like my first WoW experience, which was, this is dumb and I hate it, I quit.
He makes a valid point though, and I would take it a step further. Good luck playing an MMO and any other game you're passionate about, because like I've only had time for Mass Effect, so...
Yeah, well, and like I said earlier, my WoW time is pretty controlled, shall we say, because my partner in WoW is so busy all the time, so I only get to play once or twice a week. So if I played like once or twice a week in WoW, and then like once or twice a week in SWTOR, and then like once or twice a week, or more realistically, in Mass Effect 3, then, you know, that's only like 6 days a week. I have a whole other day that needs to be filled. So really, I'm ahead of the game.
And sleep. And podcasting. That's what your extra day for.
These things are all secondary to my gaming.
Some would say it's complimentary.
So yeah, if you guys want to leave us an iTunes review, we promise we will read it on air, and I will stop checking the UK store by accident. So that we actually have them prepped for the show. If you would like to email the show, you can email us at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. We are also facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and we're on Google Plus. We also are on the VTW forums, and we record live every Wednesday night at gamersinpodcast.com/live. So come in and join the chat room, and when we have call-ins, you too can call in to the Gamers Inn. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. And he does a new comic every Monday, so go check him out. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Where we're going to be talking Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. Sorry. It's in the notes. It says we'll be talking all about Zelda. And I'm like, oh, that's wrong.
Yeah. It's all good.
Damn copy and paste. So, yes, next week is our totally full of spoilers Mass Effect 3 episode.
Yeah. And a quick preview of our episode, non-spoilery. Probably the worst thing you can do as a renegade female shepherd is to put Caden in the friend zone and then sleep with that blue alien chick over there. Good night.
Saying hi to chat room. Hi, chat room!
Hello, chat room. Do you hear me loud and clear? Oh, God.
Well, Lou hears you loud and clear. If I hang up on you, Lou, I'm really sorry. I don't mean to.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, apparently. Okay, so if I just click the
she
little red
she never hangs up
thing.
On me.
Sometimes I really, really want to, though.
Something's
I
happening.
I have no idea what's happening.
There's dots going from his lower lip to his nose. Turn down your radio. get that out of my system now. I was going to say,
that's funny every time you say it. You know that,
That's
right?
The last time, I promise. I want to kick myself in the balls. I mean, that's how funny it is.
And my... What?
Sorry. We're all talking about Mass Effect. Then Swix says, I'm sleeping with my secretary. I'm like, I'm just thinking, he knows we're talking about Mass Effect. We're not just...
Yeah, Caden isn't a real person. You know that, right?
Oh, shit.